This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Hello and welcome to Duck Snort Baseball Podcast. I'm Greg Nix.
I'm Wayland McQueen.
And we are here recording on July 31st, the biggest day of the summer for baseball fans. The trade deadline has come and gone.
I wouldn't say it's the biggest day of the summer for me.
For you? Why? Because your birthday is in the summer?
No, my birthday is in the winter.
What's the biggest day of the summer for you? Way to just undermine me. I had such a... Well, I was on such a roll.
As a baseball fan, it was just a thing to say.
It was just a thing to
biggest,
say.
It's hyperbole. This is the problem, Greg.
This is the problem with the world, with the country, with baseball.
It's a very big day, but it's not the biggest day.
What's the biggest day of the summer for baseball fans? The All-Star game?
Could be the All-Star game. Could be the Home Run Derby. Could just be... any old game.
Yeah,
could be
that's true.
Could be when the Cardinals come to Wrigley for a Cubs fan.
I would say
it's a very big day.
It's the biggest day for some baseball fans. For GMs. How about that?
The biggest day for GMs. Yeah.
Okay.
What team? Okay. Well, I know you need to do your intro stuff.
Hold that thought. Yeah. We'll just say this is our instant trade deadline recap podcast. We are very excited to talk about some of the interesting moves that happened today. We do want to thank Boardwalk Audio and OffTheBenchBaseball.com for their support. You could support those guys. They do good stuff.
Support them.
Just come on. OffTheBenchBaseball.com and BoardwalkAudio.com. Check them out. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, this is a bigger day depending on what team you root for, I feel like.
Well,
so
certainly.
My question is going to be for this year, what fan is this the least big day for? And I think I figured it out while you were doing the intro, and it's probably the Rockies, right? Did they do anything?
The Rockies did make a trade.
They did?
Yeah, they made a minor trade. I can't...
Did the Marlins make a trade? That was the other one.
Yeah, the Marlins made a very interesting trade with the Diamondbacks.
Talk about that. You're right. Yes.
And they traded a couple of relievers to the Rays as well. The Rockies did something like very small. It was like the last trade to get added to MLB trade rumors.
Oh, wow.
And it's acquiring right-handed reliever Joe Harvey from the Yankees, who I've never heard of. So
the Yankees, they're one of the most famous teams.
Yes. Well, I don't know them. Not familiar.
Oh, man. You should not be running this podcast.
but anyway, Rockies is probably underwhelming. I know for certain, as I was telling you just before the podcast, very underwhelming day for the White Sox.
Oh, that's true.
And their fans, including myself. There's a lot of teams that did not do things that I would have expected. Let's save those to the end, though.
Yeah, that's right. We already talked about that.
It's fine.
I'm undermining you just left and right on this whole...
Yeah, you sure are. So just leave...
I traded my sense of decency.
Why don't you just leave the rest of the show to me,
Oh, great, yeah.
So let's talk... We'll talk about some of those teams because that is some of the most interesting stuff is what didn't happen. But we'll start with, I think, the biggest trade of today... I don't think the biggest trade of recent days, but the biggest trade of today, at least, was the Astros acquiring Zach Greinke from the Diamondbacks. Mm-hmm. Kind of a shocker. Happened right at the last minute. There were no real rumors of Greinke moving at all, at least that I saw prior to seeing this trade go down. And I think I actually think this is a good one for both sides.
Yeah, I feel like it was pretty fair. And that's probably the only way that the Diamondbacks are going to give up Greinke.
Yeah. I think it's kind of amazing / unfair that the Astros got another, top 15, top 20
it's
pitcher in baseball without giving up any elite prospects. So it's kind of weird for me to say, I think the Diamondbacks did all right, even though I think the Astros...
But they got a steal. Four good prospects, right?
Exactly. And I think... Yeah. The Diamondbacks side of the bargain was Seth Beer, who's a slugging first base prospect. They got J.B. Bukauskas and Corbin Martin, who are two pretty good starting pitching prospects. And they got a utility guy named Josh Rojas, who is having a very good year with the bat. So I think that's a solid return. They got off of two-thirds of Greinke's contract. I think the reason it works for both sides for me is just that Greinke did not fit the Diamondbacks' timeline. And the totality of their moves, I think they did not get worse. They sort of just moved talent to more closely align with the talent already on hand.
Exactly. And save money.
And save money. Yeah, save a huge amount of money for sure, which I, you know, it is obviously a factor in these deals, but I'm less inclined to give teams credit for, like, saving money for some reason.
Well, I get it. But I feel like in this situation, it's like now that money can be allocated when they're actually contending, and then they can start making
moves. Which could
be
as soon as next year, I think. Like, the guys that they got, Corbin Burnes has already made his Major League debut, Seth Beers in AAA, I believe, and Zach Gallen, the guy that they got from the Marlins, that's a super interesting move to me. Gallen is having a really, really good season, was sort of like not the most notable pitching prospect coming into the year, but I think was considered a decent one, who's having this very good year. And I just watched him carve up the White Sox. That's why I'm like intrigued by him, as he pitched very, very well.
I think we were all tuned into this Marlins White
probably,
Sox series.
Probably. Yeah. so I think the Diamondbacks reallocated that talent, even though they're losing, obviously, one of the best pitchers in baseball in Greinke.
Yeah, but I think this is, we kind of talked about last week, that Greinke alone wasn't going to get the Diamondbacks into the playoffs, or maybe actually he might have because it's fringe, but I think it's a good move from them, and it's I'm glad I don't hate the Astros.
Yeah.
Because this would like be an all, like if this was, like if the Cardinals had the Astros roster, then they did this, I would be like enraged.
Yeah. I wonder. Well, two things. I wonder when people will start hating the Astros for continually making these amazing moves. And on the Diamondback side, I'm intrigued by this deal because it actually looks a lot like the deal that we talked about last week when we were sort of previewing these teams of when they traded Goldschmidt for Luke Weaver and Carson Kelly, which is they sort of got guys who are major league ready, sort of bottom half of the top 100 guys who have proven to be at least, you know, slightly above replacement major league contributors with upside for more. And so also similar to the Rays deal for Austin Meadows and Tyler Glasnow last year.
Yeah.
I think like these are, they're really interesting deals that smart teams are making.
Yeah. I think it was a smart, I mean, obviously it could flame out, but I don't think, I think it'd be very silly to think that this is bad right now.
Right. But as far as the Astros, they just keep making good moves.
When was the last year in our life where having Greinke and Verlander on your team has
it's
would
crazy.
Have been amazing like every year since like 2005.
Yeah, basically.
Like, it's so crazy.
Yeah, maybe I wonder if sort of Verlander's down year in Detroit, what that aligned with
in Greinke's timeline.
But that might have been the year that he had like the 1.5 ERA.
It's like, I mean, I don't like those are possibly two Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
On
probably,
the same squad.
Probably, I think.
Yeah.
Verlander definitely, I think we've talked about Greinke's case before on this show, and I think he has a really good one. And the fact that they're still elite pitchers.
It's
amazing. And you wonder what the Astros are going to do with Greinke because like Verlander has been better since he got there. Cole has been better
since he got there
because they use so much data. Yeah. They're like pitching.
Greinke seems pretty open to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, actually, it'll be interesting. He's like an interesting character. I wonder how he'll fit with that sort of data heavy approach.
I feel
probably
like,
well.
Yeah, I feel like that no one's ever had a problem with him as far as like, I don't feel like he's been ever said to be difficult to coach or like a bad teammate. I mean, he's
just like an odd duck, I guess.
Yeah, and he had like a lot of mental issues that he deal with when he first started on the Royals.
Anxiety issues.
Yeah, but I don't think I don't think anybody ever like blamed him or it wasn't like dealing with Albert Bell or anything. You know, it's going to be very crazy. I mean, they have to be the favorites in the AL if they weren't already, right?
Oh, yeah. I'd assume so, especially because we can sort of hop over to a team that didn't do anything, I guess, the Yankees.
Gerard Dyson is nothing.
Did they acquire Gerard
Dyson?
Not Gerard Dyson,
Terrence Gore.
Oh, right.
Wait, which one was it?
It was Terrence Gore, yeah. Dyson's still on the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, you're right.
yeah, a team that really could have used a pitcher like Zach Greinke.
Oh, big time. Or Marcus Stroman. Or
yeah, kind of mystifying silence from the Yankees.
I'm sure they're trying.
Well, yeah, but like they have the guys. I think there's plenty of teams. Anybody can say they were trying, right? But if you don't execute, that doesn't really matter. And I think the Astros and the Braves and the Reds really showed what you can accomplish if you're one of the
sure.
few teams that is willing to dip into their prospect capital to do anything,
but
really.
The Mets got Stroman for nothing.
Yeah.
So
right, but that's what I'm saying is I think that the Mets were, say what you will about Brody Van Wagenen, but they were willing to trade these sort of like fringe good prospects not everybody was willing to move.
I wonder,
because every team has guys of the quality in their system that got Stroman.
Exactly. Anybody could have gotten Stroman.
Have, but you have to give the Mets credit for being the ones to say, let's do it. You know, there's no guarantee that either of these guys are even major leaguers, so let's get a good player with a year and a half
wonder
control.
If, like, some of that is that maybe the Blue Jays weren't willing to help the Yankees,
and maybe
the Mets, before they pulled Syndergaard, weren't interested in helping the Yankees. Like,
I could see the Mets definitely not wanting to trade Syndergaard to the Yankees. It would make a little bit less sense to me for the Blue Jays. Like, the Blue Jays aren't going to be division contenders next year, and then Stroman's a free agent.
No, but, like, you don't see a ton of big interdivisional trades regardless of...
Sure. I think that...
I mean, that's also a numbers game. There's only four teams versus 20.
But I think that GMs are a little bit more pragmatic about that kind of thing than they used to be. I think you're probably right.
Yeah. And then, like, Bumgarner said he didn't want to go. I just feel like all the rumored names, there's a reason why the Yankees weren't going to get them.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you're right about Stroman, but... I think it's more fair to say that Syndergaard... It was probably more of an uphill battle for the Mets to make that kind of deal with the Yankees.
Yeah. Well, we touched on the Stroman deal. The third, I guess, big name starter that moved was Trevor Bauer.
Yeah.
Which was kind of a shocking deal. Shocking three-team trade. Bauer goes to Cincinnati. Yasiel Puig and Franmil Reyes and a couple of other Logan Allen and a couple of minor leaguers go to Cleveland, and Taylor Trammell, who's a very good prospect that was in the Red system, goes to the Padres.
Right.
I think, you know, I was reading sort of the reaction on the different teams' fan blogs, and Cleveland fans were super happy about it. Reds fans and Padres fans both pretty upset about it, which was interesting to me.
It feels like the Padres are more upset with what they gave up.
Yeah.
I feel like they're not down on Trammell as so much as didn't think it was worth the haul.
Yeah. It seems like Reyes was a big fan favorite already.
Yeah.
And I think Padres fans are ready for the team to be acquiring major league talent, not trading it away.
Yeah.
That being said, like, I think it's a pretty good deal for the Padres. I mean, they, you know, the two big names they gave up, Reyes and Allen. Reyes is like a monster who hits home runs, but he's a bad defender. He doesn't hit for average, and they have a shitload of money tied up in Eric Hosmer and Will Myers. So, you know, not that like you should necessarily be keeping worse players, but I think like the Padres turned probably like average to slightly above average major league players into a guy with star upside.
Yeah.
And I think like, especially for a team like the Padres that has such a deep system, you sort of want to be consolidating the depth of your system into as many high impact guys as you can. And Trammell seems to have that upside.
Yeah. It feels like anytime you read about this trade or look at it, it's the Padres are upset, but objective analysis feels like they might be, it might have been fine.
Yeah.
Right?
I think
like,
so.
And I think for
it's probably
basically
accurate.
The reasons what you said, but I get it. And it seems like the Reds fans are upset because they don't want Bauer. Like,
well, I think that my impression was they think they overpaid for Bauer.
Yeah.
Especially in the context of the Stroman trade. Like, Bauer is
right.
better than Stroman, but not... not elite, I wouldn't say. He was elite last year, but that's been really the only year that he's shown that.
Yeah, and did I read, maybe it was a joke, that he only signs one-year contracts?
Yeah, that's sort of what he's been saying. He's still under arbitration, so his last year of arbitration is next year, and then he's a complete weirdo, obviously. and so he wants to, yeah, maximize his yearly salaries by going year to year on contracts, by signing like a 1 year, $40 million contract or something like that.
I feel like if you're going to do that, I mean, just look at Dallas Keuchel, like that could backfire big time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, the downside is enormous.
You
especially,
have to be like a top 15 pitcher probably.
You know, he
year.
Could get a $150 million contract after the season, maybe. Yeah. But
he's a big
again,
weirdo.
He's a big weirdo.
Threw that ball out of the stadium.
Yeah, which I don't think it was like a cause and effect of like the Indians. You know, he threw that ball over the outfield because he was frustrated, and then they yeah. traded him like the next day. But
I don't think
helped.
At all. I think he was probably. I mean, it's not like there were no rumors about him getting yeah. traded in that constant.
Well, the interesting thing to me about acquiring Bauer, though, and like I get kind of where Reds fans are coming from because. He does only have a year and a half of control left. He is a dipshit kind of, but he's also like super, super smart about pitching. Like he knows yeah, a ton
definitely.
About pitching and sort of all of the Indians young pitchers who have all developed like really, really well, like Mike Clevenger and Shane Bieber and Zach Plesac have all said that Bauer just spent like hours with them
oh,
on
yeah,
the mound,
well.
Like working on sort of the advanced analytics stuff that Driveline's yeah. doing. And so like, I think there is, if he does that in Cincinnati, there's a huge fringe benefit to the Reds of having like that kind of
oh,
baseball
definitely.
Mind around their young arms.
And I don't think it's, he has a year and a half left, and I know they gave up like young players, but well, I mean, did they? Yeah.
Well, they gave up Trammell.
Oh, right.
Who
right,
was
yeah.
that was the big
that
one.
The
and
big
then
one.
They obviously like gave up Puig as well.
But it's like, I mean, I feel like, yeah, I get what they're saying. I understand, but a year and a half is like, the Reds are close enough if they don't contend this year. They should, because the Cardinals could conceivably
right.
be going down. The Brewers could conceivably be going down. The Cubs could be conceivably going down.
I think I get the reservations about a year and a half because they're not in it this year. I mean, they're sort of way out on the fringes, and their run differential says that they should be better than they are, but like so
they
much of the season is already
run.
Gone.
Yeah.
There's so many teams ahead of them, right? But
it's a tight bunch. I mean, I know what you're saying, but I don't think it's
like from Reds fans' perspective, it's, oh, so you're probably saying like 2020 is the year that we're going to like contend
yeah.
in a division. And like, does it feel like the rest of the team around Bauer
is
like good enough at that yeah. point to actually contend that year? Maybe.
Maybe they're going to spend some money.
Maybe
I don't
they
know.
Are.
Yeah. No, I don't like, I get it. Like, I mean, the Indians, I think, won this trade.
Yeah. It's funny because like, as an Indians fan, like they did get a very good return, so
yeah.
you can't be too upset. But like, I still would be frustrated that ownership put the team in a position where they have to trade their best starting pitcher.
Oh, I mean, but that like, I think I talked about last week. I can't remember what, but it's like one. I think it's with like the Giants already resigning themselves to probably not contending. Like, I think that it's not like this is new information. So, I feel like you're probably counting on Bauer disappearing. So it's. I think that's not new frustration, is what I'm saying. It's
yeah,
the
yeah,
same
for
frustration
sure.
you've
same frustration.
Been having.
Yes.
And I don't think this adds to it substantially because you saw the writing on the wall. And no. because he's a head case. And Puig
yes.
is a much more lovable head case.
That's true.
Like, objectively, you would want
yeah.
Puig's craziness over Bauer's craziness.
And they
craziness.
Did have huge holes in the lineup, for sure.
Yeah.
So it does. I don't think it makes their team worse, But I think their team is worse than, at least right now, than if they had kept Bauer and acquired Puig another way.
Or if they would have been seemingly trying at all for the last year and a half to make their team better.
Yeah, exactly.
They're in a weak division.
Right. That's the frustration. But they did they did well in the deal, I think.
I think you could have had a legitimate fear after the Stroman trade that it would have ended up like that.
Yeah.
And then it definitely didn't happen.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of these bullpen moves, because that was the dominant theme on the day, I think, has become rate normal, I guess, every trade deadline. The Braves got Shane Green and Mark Melancon. Those were probably the two biggest names, I would say, at least that got moved.
Because Matt Smith stayed put, right?
Will Smith on the Giants, you mean?
Yeah, yes. Will Smith, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think those are probably the biggest names.
Yeah. Green is having a good year, a very good year, but peripherals don't look quite as good as the surface numbers do. Melancon has been only okay, like, since he got to the Giants.
Better than... He's been okay, but the best he's been since the Pirates, probably, right?
Well, he went to the Giants after the Pirates, didn't he?
I thought
he did
to the
a
Nationals.
Half season of the Nationals.
I thought I remembered it not going super great.
Yeah, that might be true. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I get Shane Green's been good in the peripherals and Melancon hasn't been that good, but they were desperate for bullpen help. And
definitely.
They're not. I don't think Green and Melanson's going to make that bullpen worse.
Oh, definitely not. I think those are upgrades for sure. Yes, you're right about Melancon playing on the Nationals, but he was good for them.
Oh, he was?
For that
I don't know
season.
What I'm remembering.
Yeah. He was bad his first year in San Francisco. That maybe is what you're thinking of. And the Giants had their own bullpen hole that they were like, Melanson's the answer, and then he was immediately terrible.
That's right. I got the teams mixed up.
But he's been pretty good.
Yeah.
Big upgrade for them. I think especially, you know, the Phillies did a lot of fiddling around the margins. I don't know that they got anybody even as impactful as Shane Green.
No.
Corey Dickerson is a pretty good bat. They it's got obviously Jay Bruce earlier this season. They got Jason Vargas the other day. They got a lot of guys. Drew Smyly, right? They got recently.
Oh yeah.
But I think the Braves had a clearer hole, and they addressed that hole more clearly.
Did they give up anything?
Not anything elite. I don't think anybody in their top 10 even. I'm kind of surprised by how little Shane Green went for, and that's sort of that's the salve on my wounds of the White Sox not trading Alex Colomé, is like Shane Green didn't really get a great prospect, so Colomé probably wouldn't have either.
It's a tough market
for comparable
relievers, yeah. I mean, I like the way the Braves are operating, because I feel like
I just wonder for the Braves, like, when they're
gonna start making
when
their
big swing, yes, you know.
I still think this makes sense to me, because like 2 years ago, this would have been the year before the good year, right? They're probably circling 2020.
Going into
2018 season, you're probably 2020 is our first good year.
Yeah.
So I guess I like that they seem to be behaving as if they're not as good as they are, which in the sense of they're still buyers, but they're not making these big swings
I see what you're saying, but I think when the opportunity's there, like, you kind of got to pounce on it, because you don't know what's going to happen with, you know, maybe Freddie Freeman gets hurt or Ronald Acuña
gets hurt
or the all their young arms flame out.
But what more would you have had them done? Try to get a starting pitcher?
Yeah, I mean, I think, maybe the Mets wouldn't have traded Syndergaard there, but I think that would have been a great fit.
Yeah.
They need a front of the rotation guy. You know, they're like, Mike Soroka has been very good, and they've had some good pitching performances, but there's nobody who, I don't think they have like a horse, you know?
Oh, they definitely don't.
Yeah.
They definitely don't, but it feels like they're still setting themselves up for like making like a 3-year run starting probably next year.
Yeah.
And anything before that's a bonus. I mean, obviously anybody can get hurt at any time.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, it's, it, I don't know. I don't like. I feel like they add decent pieces.
Yeah.
And without giving up a lot.
I guess a part of me too is just like I just like I like trades. I like acquisitions. You know, I think it's interesting, and I think sort of the thought process behind moves is really interesting. And so I kind of like am just more in favor of teams being aggressive with their upgrades. And it's just I'm just a little underwhelmed by the league as a whole's reticence to like take any risks in their player acquisition.
Yeah, I get that. I to me it's just like such a team by team basis.
Sure.
I mean, I see what you're saying. Like I like trades, but also like it's very annoying when someone gets clearly ripped off or
you know,
so
I don't want teams to get ripped off necessarily,
no,
but I think like
I guess I don't like when teams move in too early. Like I guess it's like the slow methodical way I play poker is the same thing where it's like, well, I know this is okay, but I don't want to like
panic. Don't you
and
think
get too excited.
That causes missed opportunities? Not in poker necessarily, but in baseball. Like for me, the Brewers are the perfect example of like, okay, they did this big Christian Yelich Lorenzo Cain thing that worked out amazingly.
Oh, yes.
It worked out so
it
well.
It couldn't have worked out better.
And then so for the last 2 years, their one example of doing this has worked so well, and they have such a clear other hole in the front of the rotation. I'm like, why are you not like doing that again?
That is weird. I feel like
you are wasting the opportunity given to you by nailing the Yelich and Cain moves by not like you have to see your team, especially with their record is as it is now, and see we're not as good as the Dodgers. You know, we're probably not even as good as the Cubs, like, but we have the pieces to be. Recent history tells us we can be.
Yeah.
We, like, made these big moves that put us in this position, and now we're, like, sort of, like, twiddling our thumbs with the fruits of those moves, you know? It's just, like, frustrating to me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, Yelich was the only one that was a trade. Cain was a free agent.
Yeah, but
and
I'm
so
just
was
saying,
Moose,
like,
which doesn't work out as well, but isn't working out poorly for them.
Moose is working out amazingly.
That's what I'm saying. It's not as well as Yelich and Cain, but that's why I was using like toadies. It's like not.
Right.
It's, you wouldn't say like you wouldn't add that in the same category. But Moose is another. But that was free agent too.
Yeah,
that was a trade.
I'm just like the Brewers' moves have worked out so much better for them than the Reds' moves did. That like why are the Reds the ones swinging big and not?
Well,
the Brewers?
Maybe the Brewers don't want to push their luck. Also. Maybe they have a weird pitching thing because my point was going to be like these big moves. My other point was going to be you're not dealing with Dayton Moore and Derek Jeter with every other team.
Yeah.
So maybe they're just really good at ripping off idiots and there aren't that many idiots left in front offices. But like not ripping off. I don't think the Royals got ripped off with Moose because they weren't going to get a lot for him anyway. But like definitely they ripped the Marlins off. But I get what you're saying. I'm like... I just feel like, I mean, yeah, like if you're a Brewers fan, it's definitely frustrating if you're like, there are all these pitchers that are like established pitchers and you don't get any of them.
Yeah. And we're like taping together our rotation out of like, you know, pitching machines that we found outside of a high school or something like,
I mean, philosophy might just be like, let's score 7 runs and get to the bullpen in the fourth in the playoffs. Like I mean,
maybe that is their philosophy, but it's not put them in first place so far this year. You
no,
know?
But last year got them one game away from World Series against a team that was on paper much better than them.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, this is why we're not GMs, obviously. It's like, I get what you're saying. You want to take those big swings.
I'm not saying like be foolish with your assets, but when the opportunity presents itself to like have a legitimate chance at a championship, like I think the pendulum has swung too far away from that.
I see what you're saying. Like there is like, something to be said for going all in to take your shot.
Right.
When you're not the big five teams that can afford to.
Exactly. Yeah. To keep your window open forever.
Yeah.
And if that costs you a theoretical closing of the window, or not even closing of the window, but if it theoretically costs you a decent player 5 years from now
to win the 2019 or 2020 World
that's
Series,
that's worth it.
Yeah.
And I think the pendulum has swung too far away.
It's what we were talking about last year with what the Royals did with getting Zobrist and Cueto.
Yes,
like you don't
exactly.
see that a lot. And that
exactly.
feels the Brewers feel like the perfect candidate for that.
Yeah.
Is what
and
you're saying.
I mean, you look at the, like we touched on a little while ago, the quiet deadlines of the Yankees and especially the Dodgers. It's like, yeah, the Dodgers don't have holes, but they also did nothing to get better at the deadline while other yeah. teams are getting better around them. And like, they have been done in the past two postseasons in large part due to a lack of depth in their bullpen. So that why were they not in on Shane Green? You know, Shane Green's an upgrade over most of the guys in the bullpen and did not cost that much. Like, why are they clutching on to their 10th ranked prospect?
Maybe all these GMs are just like, I'm tired of feeding the Dodgers and Yankees and Red Sox. And
I guess
I don't
so.
Think that's really what's happening, but like, it feels yeah. like that, right? It's like, why didn't the Yankees get Stroman? Why didn't Shane Green go to, like...
Yeah.
And, like, I don't think it's really that, but that's me and my... Like, when I was a kid, I was always like, I would never talk to the Yankees for a trade. You know what I mean? Like, if I was a GM, I would never trade, or I'd never sign with the Yankees. I'd sign with... Yeah, like, when you're a kid and the Brewers were bad, I'd sign with the Brewers. I'd sign with the
right.
Rangers. Like,
yeah.
I don't think that's actually what's happening. But something's going on that we don't know, because it does feel... Or maybe you're right. Maybe the pendulum just swung. Maybe
I just think it's the valuations of like year to year sort of championship contention, right? Championship odds have like gotten out of whack with the valuations of like your seventh best outfield prospect.
But maybe if you're the Dodgers, you look and basically say we on basically a fluke lost the 2018 World Series. Like, that was a coin flip the whole time, as far as, like, that extra inning. I mean, like...
Sure, but don't you want to make it not a coin flip? Don't you want that? Or if it is a coin flip, don't you want it to be, like, 55% to 45%?
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying with the Dodgers is that, like, they're pretty set up to be good for a while. So, like, if it's essentially a coin flip, or if that's the slim odds, like, they might just think, like, we eventually, like, have to win this one. I know that's not how odds work. But do you know what I like? It's the same with the Yankees. I feel like it's just like they eventually like, let's just keep our team really great. With the Brewers, it makes sense because you have to push in.
Right.
Like, or the Twins, it makes sense to push in. Or the Braves eventually will have to, it feels like.
You know, I'm sure they all have like justifications and reasons. Yeah. Like honestly,
you
like
see, you just want to see.
Well,
splashes.
That's what I'm saying.
You just want to see splashes.
Like, and like every front office has people smarter than me in it, right? Who are like tracking valuations and win projections and how that ties to future revenue and blah 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 blah.
Right.
But I just think like I guess I sound like sort of a meatball, but like on this point, but I'm just like yeah, but like. Don't you want to like win the most games right now? You know what I mean? Like is there no competitive spirit in that?
I think there is. I think that you know what probably ruined the competitive spirit is that like stat isn't it basically no team will ever have more than like a 12.5%. You know what I mean? Like
what?
Or to win the World Series
or whatever.
Oh, just because
it's such a crapshoot.
Yeah, and it's like again like I totally get what you're saying and like of course we just said that Greinke pushes the Astros into AL favorites, certainly if not World Series favorites, because like a really great player can. But like you just said, that Green isn't like
a home run. But you know, I think at that point you are talking about like wins on the margins anyway. Like you know, I don't think Greinke would have improved the Dodgers the same amount that he improves the Astros.
No.
Who they already have.
Right.
But I think Green improves the Dodgers based on, even if he's only your sixth or seventh inning guy, the quality of him above the worst pitcher on your playoff roster is like...
Definitely, yeah.
Impactful enough to me. But like, I don't think he helps you get to the playoffs, but relievers in the
playoffs
are
yeah,
very
right.
impactful.
You're right.
You know?
You're right. I don't like. I think it's dumber for them not to have like signed Kimbrel, right? Than this trade. Not dumber, but
well, Kimbrel moves not looking awesome
no.
so far.
Well, but also he would have had to have agreed to be like the eighth inning guy, or Jansen would have. So that would have. But yeah, no. Well, we don't have to talk about the Kimbrel
We could touch on the Cubs, though. They acquired Nicholas Castellanos. We were talking about him just before we started recording. Sort of maybe going to platoon with Kyle Schwarber, or the Cubs or do however. Seem to have like a bunch of modular pieces. I think the problem for them is like some of them are not particularly adept defenders at like a bunch of these positions. Am I reading that wrong?
Yeah. I think Contreras is not good behind the plate as far as like a lot of advanced stats go, and Schwarber is not. He's not like atrocious, but he's not terrible. And
the more they're having center Hayward field problem. In center field, he's not really a great center fielder.
But he's great in right. Second, and then probably. Baez is obvious. Oh, second base is just a black hole, period. Right. But Baez is good. Bryant's, I think, at least an average defender. And Rizzo, I think, is above average, if not average. I think Schwarber and catcher and second are really their only ones that.
But I'm saying adding
Almora has been worse in center.
Yeah.
Which adding
Castellanos to this mix does not help
them defensively.
He plays their problem positions, but he does not help their problem positions defensively.
Not at all. He's there to hit left-handed pitching.
Yeah, there to hit to platoon with Schwarber, basically.
That's the only reason he's there. But what, I mean, I don't, they didn't give up anything. Yeah. And then it's like,
he's a bat.
It's like the classic thing where it's like, he might not even make the postseason roster. Like, and it probably wouldn't matter.
And, or the sort of flip side of that coin is like, maybe they make it to the World Series and he's their DH and like, he's better than whoever they would have been playing.
Daniel Descalso would be the DH. Right. And so, they also got Tony Kemp, which I feel like is like a low key, pretty
like
fun
one. Under the radar move. I like Tony Kemp.
Because he's speed, like, which they don't
have at all.
And he can
play
second. He makes pretty good contact. He can play second. It's the same thing where it's like, it's not like blowing you away, but he could play an important role in the postseason, and he can play second base.
Yeah.
And maybe center, I guess.
Do you like what the Giants did? Keeping their sort of big pieces while making a bunch of small moves.
They got Scooter Gennett.
Which I think is a fine move. They got him for basically free. So I think it's interesting. You know, they tried to thread the needle in the way that Cleveland did, but on a much smaller scale by like getting rid of a bunch of guys, but not crippling the team by getting rid of Bumgarner or Smith. They're sort of more elite guys.
I think they did basically what you were advocating for them to do last week, right? Like, I think they're in position to, they put themselves in a position. They didn't make their team worse.
No.
Or their system worse. And they put themselves in the position to.
They're going
to
miss a couple of those guys based on performance so far this season. Sam Dyson and Mark Melancon.
Oh, that's true.
I don't think either of those guys project like super well going forward. They kept their best reliever. So, you know, it's kind of an interesting line they're trying to walk where a lot of their success has been based on their bullpen, but a lot of that success was catching lightning in a bottle with guys. And so they're sort of trying to
do it again.
Hope they catch lightning in a bottle with new guys while adding Jeanette to the lineup where he will.
I mean, knowing
he should
the,
help.
Knowing the Giants, they're like the Cardinals in that way, too, or sometimes they can add someone like Scooter Gennett and suddenly,
right. Like Marco Scudero.
Yeah.
Another famous Scooter. Sorry.
Yeesh. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I hate the Giants, so I hope it doesn't work out.
Were there any other moves that you found particularly interesting?
I think the
or
Cubs
surprising?
Getting Phelps and Derek Holland from the Giants won't hurt, but that's more personal interest. That's
you know
just
one that I thought was under the radar that could turn out to be good is the Astros, of course, getting Aaron Sanchez.
Oh yeah, I was looking
like
at that too.
Almost,
yeah.
For not a high price, and he's been very bad this year. And has been injured in the last couple seasons, but he's got huge
upside.
The
Astros, and if he's your fifth best, if he can kind of turn around in the next month, and
or if they can use him
in the bullpen as a two inning guy, or like an opener kind of thing,
there's a lot of upside there, and they did not give up too much.
What do you think about the Rays getting Aguilar for?
Another great buy low move, I think. Yeah. I mean,
it's a classic Rays move, right? Isn't that like the most classic Rays thing?
I saw a great tweet today that was from actually like 2014, I think. And Sam Miller, who's a writer or was a writer at Baseball Prospectus. I'm not sure. But he, the tweet was, I love this trade for the Rays. Who'd they give up? And who'd they get? And that's sort of how I feel Perfect. About Rays moves.
You can say that about the Sogard trade too, right? For basically nothing.
Yeah.
Doesn't Eric Sogard feel like perfect Ray?
Yeah, he's having a great first half of the season. It's just like the Rays pick up guys that are interesting and squeeze a lot out of them. And if it doesn't work out for Aguilar, it's not like they gave up a lot, but Aguilar was amazing last year and is one of those guys that his batted ball data says should be better this year. So I think is a great pickup.
What did the Twins do? They got Sergio Romo. Did they do anything else? What else did they do?
Yeah, they got another reliever whose name escapes me at the moment.
I'm trying to find it. I should have looked before I asked. Astros also got Martin Maldonado, who's really good defensively and terrible offensively.
Yeah, that's pretty much. Dyson, they're the ones who got Sam.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's pretty good because it's not like they needed hitters.
Yeah. Nationals got a few bullpen arms, nothing particularly interesting.
Yeah, but like, with all these people, because they kind of took the it seems like the Nationals just like stocked up.
Yeah, they just took,
you're just really hoping to hit.
They
one,
took
two
depth
of those.
Over
yeah.
sort of, but I mean, sure thing.
If two of those catch fire on September 19th and it lasts like
yeah, but
it's gonna look like
you would think a team with the sort of long-term bullpen issues as the Nationals would want a little more certainty than that, but
I just don't think that the certainty
doesn't
was there
hurt. Yeah, sure,
because obviously Smith didn't get traded for whatever reason.
Yeah,
so it's like I don't think, and then Green's not, I just don't think, I think this is like a weird reliever one where there are a bunch of just like, oh, he's pretty good
guys who have been like good for 1 or 2 years, but are not overpowering.
There's no like Aroldis Chapman out there to go
get. Right, or Andrew Miller. Yeah. Or somebody who, stuff-wise, you're like, this is clearly an elite option.
Yeah, and so if the Nationals saw something in 1 or 2 of these, I just feel like it's
well,
like...
Well, aside from Jake Diekman.
Diekman?
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding.
he went to the A's. They got a bunch of small move pitchers, too, which are they made a bunch of the most A's moves possible, I feel
yeah,
like.
For sure.
And who knows? It's like saying who knows is like a cop out, but I feel like those
like
are all the big ones. They got Tanner Roark too.
Yeah, that's a good move. He's been good.
Yeah, they got Homer Bailey and Tanner Roark. It's like
for nothing probably.
For yeah, so now they have probably 9 starting pitchers, and I don't know the A's well enough, but depth for they'll probably make the playoffs. They're looking like they will.
Man, it'll be so interesting to see how this NL wild card race shakes out in the wake of this because. The teams that you thought, aside from the Diamondbacks, but even them, like, they don't got a lot worse.
Yeah.
Like, but any of the teams that you thought might kind of throw in the towel didn't.
Yeah.
Like the Mets and the Reds.
The Mets big time didn't. The Giants didn't.
Yeah. The Giants, yeah, exactly. So I think that's going to be the most interesting race down the stretch for sure.
Yeah, I think the biggest bummer about the Diamondbacks is going to be when if they get a wild card spot, they don't have Greinke to throw the wild card game.
Yeah, very true. They did keep Robbie Ray. So.
Yeah, I mean, he's great, but he's not Zach Greinke.
He's not Greinke,
yeah.
Right, for
but
sure.
I still think it was a good move overall, but I think that's really the only, and that's the only shot they have of making the playoffs. So.
Yeah.
But they also might be facing the Brewers, who also don't have a starting pitcher that you would give a shit about.
Right. Yeah. maybe Hader can throw a complete game. Is it worth it? Stretch him out for 130 pitches.
So you want to talk about, or you have any other trades?
Not really. And I think we sort of covered most of the teams that I was surprised didn't do anything. I mean, really the Yankees and the Dodgers and I guess the Red Sox to an extent are the teams that I'm just a little surprised, like, really nothing, you know?
I don't blame the Dodgers as much as you do, although I get it because they do need bullpen help. And the same thing I just said about all these other teams is if they got 1 or 2 guys that hit.
Right.
But the Yankees really surprises me.
I guess the one thing about the Dodgers is, like, they have such starting pitching depth, and they did just call up Dustin May, who's their best pitching prospect.
Yeah.
So they do, you know, they can move Maeda and maybe May to the bullpen in October.
Yeah, kind of do what the Astros did.
Yeah, and what they did with Maeda.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
As well in previous postseasons. But, so, you know, I don't think, maybe I'm a little over-harsh, but it just is surprising to me that, you know, There would certainly have been opportunities to upgrade the major league roster for a pretty marginal prospect cost, and surprising to me they didn't do that. But I'm not a GM.
Who also almost didn't do anything is the Angels, right?
Yeah.
Not that they had a lot to work with, and they're pretty set up for the. They're on a good track. They just got Max Stassi. Did he do anything else?
No, I guess. I would.
I don't blame them.
They didn't sell.
Yeah.
But they're not that far
Rangers
out of the wild card.
Rangers didn't really sell either.
Yeah.
That's a little surprising. I'm a little surprised by that. They're
not
that far out
either. I'm surprised they didn't
trade
Mike Minor.
Yeah, I feel like that because Mike Leake got traded.
Mm-hmm. To the Diamondbacks, which is one little head scratcher in there, but I'm like, hey, well,
when the Mariners and Diamondbacks are involved, all bets are off. Yeah, no one really that we expected to stay put or to possibly sell. Yeah, National or American League, everyone.
Maybe it's because there weren't that many buyers.
So maybe that's it. The flip to me, though, of not making trades is I like that because I'm a big fan of as many teams being in it as possible. So
you don't want to see too many white flags.
No, I mean, last year we definitely argued, or last week we definitely argued for certain teams to, argued definitely for the Giants and probably the Pirates to throw it in. But, I still appreciate when it's not a white flag because we've seen teams like the Rangers make 16-5 runs.
Yeah,
and suddenly
for sure.
They're into it.
There will be one team that finishes hot, whether they make the playoffs or not, that right now looks very fringy.
Just like the Nationals were 4 weeks ago or
right,
6 weeks
exactly.
ago or whatever. Yeah.
Or the Giants.
Giants, yeah. So could be the Reds, could be the Rangers, could be the Angels. I'd love if it was the Angels.
Yeah.
Do you think this is the most any baseball fan is rooted for a team to make the playoffs unless it directly affects their team is rooting for the Angels. Like most baseball fans are rooting for the Angels to make the playoffs is what I'm saying.
You think? Because of Skaggs?
Because of the Trout.
To see him in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Because I feel like every baseball fan loves Mike Trout.
Yeah.
And I feel like every baseball fan wants Mike Trout in the playoffs unless it will, again, negatively affect your team.
Right.
But I would love if the Angels made the playoffs.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a team outside of the Royals. Well, the Royals aren't going to make it. The Cubs that I want more to make the playoffs than the Angels.
Interesting. I guess I don't have one off the top of my head. It would be fun to see Trout. It'd be more fun next year if Otani's pitching game one.
Oh, well, that's true, yeah. But what if Pujols just has one final magic series?
Man, I thought for years and years and years that Pujols was this is going to be his season. He's back. It's not going to happen.
I'm just asking seven games.
Yeah,
from
yeah. No. I know you're not saying the whole season, but yeah. I held on to a belief for a long time that Pujols was.
Me too.
I mean, maybe everybody did. I'm not getting fooled with Miggy though. He's done. He's got 5 years left on his contract or something. It's kind of sad.
Well, if a team retires, if a player retires, that relieves the team of the contract, right?
Yeah, but would you retire with $100 million left to go?
Absolutely not. No way.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Pujols could. I mean, he's made so much money.
I think if the Angels made a crazy run and won the World Series, he maybe would.
Yeah.
And if he contributed.
Maybe.
I mean, I don't know him. Maybe he will never retire. But Ricky Henderson, who never wanted to.
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
Well, we got our teams locked down for the rest of the season. It'll be an interesting finish for sure.
I am happy about that. Some people are grumbling about this trade deadline.
The lack of
August
trade deadline.
I love it. I think it's great.
Yeah. I guess I don't feel super strongly one way or the other. The only reason I'm bummed there's not another trade deadline is because the White Sox are... Well, I like trades and the White Sox are stuck with the fucking bums that they've got.
That's true. I just think a month before the season's over is too close.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I think that's my main problem with it. Even if they moved it, if they wanted to move it to August 7th, I'd be fine with it. But I feel like past August 15th certainly is too late.
Yeah.
You should have your team.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I don't know other sports, percentage of season-wise, where they lie.
No,
but
I think the 31st is a good trade deadline.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about the brawl at all, or is it just... Is there anything
worth
talking about? As far as brawls go, it's pretty crazy.
We're talking about the Reds and the Pirates brawl on the 30th.
Yeah.
Immediately after Puig got traded, he was still in the game and he was fighting with Pirates. Amir Garrett friggin' went up against 10
Pirates
by himself.
I've never seen anything like
that. It was crazy.
I think that's going to go up there with like the Robin Ventura, Nolan Ryan, like AJ Pierzynski.
Yeah, I agree. Michael Barrett
fight as the like some of the just like the holy shit.
I will say like a way less cowardly way to get your revenge than throwing a pitch at somebody.
Oh, by magnitudes, yeah.
Yeah.
Do we even know what was exactly going on?
I don't know, and I kind of don't want to. I kind of want to be like in the dark and just assume like blood feud.
Yeah. I'm fine with that. I like a Reds Pirates rivalry feels classic.
Sure, yeah.
Like a
good old fashioned Rust Belt rivalry.
Yeah, like old rivals from throughout time, and then especially the 70s. Like those were two of the better teams in the early 70s and then the late 70s.
Yeah, and they were rivals for like the worst team for a long time in the 90s and early 2000s.
I think the Pirates won
The Pirates won that one. You're right about that. Fiery. I really kind of don't want to know why they were fighting, because it's probably a really mundane reason that is not nearly as cool as the actual fight itself.
Also, did you see who the Reds manager?
I forget.
Yeah, was yelling at Clint Hurdle, which is like the third time this season I've seen a manager. Joe Madden did it.
Yeah, Clint Hurdle rubs people the wrong way.
Specifically, a manager
guess, huh?
Getting in Clint Hurdle's face.
Yeah.
So that's a low-key storyline of the season that I'm now very interested in.
Clint Hurdle is
kind
of a
dick. People hate? Because he's a good clubhouse guy, though, right? Don't his players love him? Isn't that like one of his big things?
I think. I mean, he's been around for long enough that they must.
And he's not that great to be around as long
as
he is.
Yeah.
But I think I would love if just every manager hates Clint Hurdle for some reason. Because managers yelling at managers is something that I'm about.
Hell yeah. Get all riled, get all ruffled, guys.
Yeah, let's see the old guys in uniforms.
Well, I think that'll do it for this week's episode. We'll be back next week with more thoughts. And
talking
for
about
the
Mets
season.
Who go 6-0 from the whole thing.
Those swinging Mets. thank you once again to Boardwalk Audio and Off the Bench. Thank you to Moonbounce for the transition music, producer Joe for the theme music. We will be back at you guys. In the meantime, leave reviews if you haven't. It really helps. Follow us on Twitter at DuckStormPod. And we'll talk to you guys later. Have a good one, everybody. Have a good one.
See you in August.
Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.